Welcome to Underdog to Unstoppable. I'm Nicole Anderson, and today we're proving that no matter the odds, resilience rewrites the story. You're watching Now Media Television. Jason, welcome to Underdog to Unstoppable. We're stepping into that defining moment where everything is on the line and self-belief becomes the strategy. Many people stall not because they lack ability, but because no one around them affirms their potential. When encouragement runs dry, self-belief becomes the first true test of leadership. This segment explores the emotional and practical cost of betting on yourself before results, recognition, or reassurance exists. Jason, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I love being on the other side of the microphone. I've done over 500 podcast interviews, and I love sharing my backstory as well.
So with that, tell me a little bit about your past and what brought you to where you're at today.
Yes, and I love the name of your show because right now I'm living it, literally. I've gone 5 years of writing checks to developers and really trying to have a huge breakthrough to be the underdog. And it's so difficult when you operate a mobile app to have a breakthrough because you're up against the biggest technologies in the world. We're talking about Apple, Google, LinkedIn, Facebook, and to really have that big moment takes a lot of pressure, a lot of pain, a lot of sacrifice. And I know that that day will come eventually in the near future. But 5 years of losing money and just knowing that I had that gut feeling that I am going to be right. But I have a backstory to this. I'm gonna share a lot of it on today's show, of course.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into later on in one of our segments. I definitely want to get into, you know, the struggle, right?
Yes.
Like this putting out money, not getting a lot in return, and then how that helps you propel you to like, I got to make this money back. So how do we do it? So give us a little bit of backstory about you. Like what brought you to this point of your journey?
Yeah, so I was raised in New York, a town called Port Washington. My father was an entrepreneur. And at a very young age, I was pulled into flea markets, garage sales with my father. He was my true mentor. And he had a store in New York City called Captain Hooks. And he would literally flip merchandise. So think about every item you would have seen on the movie Titanic, right? Think about buoys, anchors, anything that was on that ship, he sold in his store. And we would buy it through garage sales and flea markets for pennies on the dollar, right? Because no one really wanted that stuff. They just wanted to get rid of it out of their home, or people passed away and they just had to get rid of things. And there was no eBay back in those days or no Facebook marketplace. So I went around and learned how to buy things with my father. So that was my first journey as an entrepreneur. And then as a young kid, I would sell candy on the school bus. I'd have lemonade stands. And I was really an entrepreneur from a young age. Everyone knew it. They're like, oh, Jason's good at flipping things, selling things. And inevitably, I became a financial advisor. I went to college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I was always that sports individual, and sports players are known for being good at sales and known as being good at entrepreneurship. And I joined the financial service world because at that time, my father's store was shut down. He retired, and it wasn't the type of business you could pass on. It was more of a lifestyle business. And eventually they changed and rezoned the South Street Seaport. So we had to shut down. So at that time I jumped into financial services and I built a business from scratch. It was really difficult back in those days. I started in 2007. We had a cold call. You had to do presentations in front of, you know, fire department members, New York City police officers. I did everything under the sun to just meet people to convince them to want to sit down with me. And I grew a nice financial service business. Still am a financial advisor to this day. But that led me to moving to South Florida, where I always loved the warm weather. And I told my wife, that's my dream location. I'm gonna have a house with a pool behind it. I'm gonna sacrifice working really hard. And I pulled it off. In 2017, I moved to South Florida. And everyone thought I was crazy, because at that time I was one of the most successful financial advisors at my age, under 35 years old. And they said, what are you doing? Like, financial advisors don't shift to South Florida from New York City when they've been in the industry for only 10 years.
Isn't that the thing though? Like, everybody's against when you make a change against the grain. Always.
Everyone. And remember, this is pre-COVID. Back then it was not cool to move to South Florida. Back then it was like, what are you doing? Like, you go there to retire. There's no jobs. You know, what are you going to do when you get down there? How are you going to meet new people? Right? That's not where you want to raise your family. There's not good school districts. You get all these different reasons not to go down there, and a lot of noise. Same thing with entrepreneurship, of course, why you shouldn't start a business, why you shouldn't start a gym or whatever it might be.
Everybody's fear, they projected onto you.
So yeah. it was really challenging for me. I took over a 50% haircut overnight because it was my marketing that I was giving up. I moved to a new area where I was not able to immediately meet with people anymore. I had to figure it out. So what did I do? I turned to podcasting, right? I went to a couple of conventions and I said, podcasting is where it's at. And I'm going to interview entrepreneurs, but not talk about financial services. I am going to actually just interview them just like we're doing today,
Yeah. Learn
about them and do it in person and really get to know them. And then afterwards, right, they're going to trust me. They're going to like me and they're going to be willing to meet with me. And then at that time, I'll bring up what I really do. I'm a financial service professional and I could share ways that I could help them. And that's literally what I did when I moved to Florida. And essentially that show has grown today, right? The Shrimp Tank, it's called. We do it at Florida Atlantic University. And today we do it 30 to 40 students that sit in live on a show and they participate during a live podcast broadcast and ask questions live on air. And it's so unique because now it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I get any entrepreneur under the sun to want to join 30, 40 students and share their story. And that's helped me really evolve as, you know, a financial service professional. But now I have Owl, the app that helps people connect instantly through one-on-one audio calls and soon text messaging. We're about to release text messaging for costs, right? Not just texting you and it's free. No, you charge what you want and I pay to text you and you're more likely to respond because it's a paid incoming message. So I'm really, you know, becoming the king of connections in a sense. Everyone knows me like, oh, you need someone called Jason. He's interviewed over 500 entrepreneurs
through the Shrimp Tank. By the way, I need this. No, I'm just kidding.
But in general, I've always taken a step further by connecting the dots, right? Someone comes on my podcast, like Celsius Beverage, and then Forever Young came on my podcast. And I was like, these two need to meet.
I met both of them through you on the podcast.
See, that's funny. I don't even know. People later tell me stories out through, you know, one connection or another that because of the Shrimp Tank, they connected. But then I just had this feeling. I'm like, what if I could build a product around that? A product that connects people easier. Because I felt that Instagram and LinkedIn were not doing a good enough job where it was still direct messaging. And it was so difficult to just get people on conversations anymore, especially when COVID hit. Right. Everyone's at home, but like everyone's texting each other like, hey, we should connect. And just like we do. Right. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? We never do. Right. We're always like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we really mean it. It is a great idea to connect and meet. But then just life gets in the way. But now Owl's the first tool where from this studio to my house is 45 minutes. I set a little timer button, say I'm available to take calls. I can set my price at any rate. And now it gives people access to call me and I could instantly have a conversation and build an opportunity. So the Owl really is an extremely unique tool that it's accelerating connections.
And what was the cost of, so you're moving to Florida,
Yeah. You're
at this point you have your wife, your children, Yeah. You know, you guys just take this risk. What was the additional cost of betting on yourself in Florida? Like, what was that?
Yeah, that's a great question because when you jump to a new area, right, your auto insurance changes. Your healthcare changes. And when you're an entrepreneur, those are a lot of changes overnight. Your kids switch school systems. You know, in my case, my kids were the newborn 3-4 months later and someone who was 3.5 years old. So just starting, you know, those early school years. So it wasn't as difficult versus switching like in middle school or elementary school, for example. But you're always taking risks and it's never the right time. Everybody would always say like, hey, Jason, like, it's not the right time. You just had children. Right. But then that excuse comes up all the time. Then, oh, it's not the right time. They're in school or it's not the right time. And that's the same thing that goes for running a business, right? It's never the right time to start a gym or a podcast. Like there's always reasons why you should do it later in life. And I just, of course, ignore the noise. I've always been very entrepreneurial and I bet on myself, right? I always felt like I had the confidence to move to a new area and rebuild. So I rebuilt. And it was one of the most difficult things I ever did because in financial services, only about 3% of individuals make it under age 30. So I made it.
Yeah, because it's a tough, it's a tough industry because I think in financial services, as well as like insurance brokers and things like that, like
yeah.
They don't hand you leads.
No.
Like, it's not something that you walk in and they're like, oh, you're hired today. Here's a whole bunch of cold leads.
Correct.
No, you have to go chase that.
Yes,
exactly. And it's not like, it's not for everybody.
It's not. Like, certain places you could. Like, if I wanted to switch from an independent channel and go work for a bank, like Chase, and there's a financial service unit and people walk through the door, yes, I could have done that. But then you give up that freedom of being able to go to the office in jeans, or today, there's no one at my office. I wore shorts to the office and changed this outfit later on. Like, you can't do that if you work for a bank. And I'm an entrepreneur. I want to market the way I want to market. And when I got down to Florida, you know, it was extremely stressful. My wife just stopped working when we had my son Weston. And then we have a second one, you know, a few years later. And now you're saying, wait a second, like, you know, we used to have healthcare through her and benefits through her. And all of a sudden it's like, no, like, I'm cutting my income in half and now going to a new area and having to, you know, be a father, a husband, and figure this all out and dip into savings, where a lot of people aren't willing to do that. That's a very important part, right?
Most people, they don't have it. I think you have both options there, right? Like, correct. Some people don't have savings and then they don't want to cut limited. Into it. Yeah, they're very limited.
Yes. And I will say I sacrificed a lot to have that savings, right? By not going out as much with friends on the weekends to the bar. I lived in New York City. I got invites all day long to go out, but I would wake up on a Saturday morning and actually call people, and my friends would make fun of me, right? They would literally be like, there's Jason again, making calls in the morning to people. But I'm like, well, when do people pick up? On a Saturday morning, because less people are spamming them and they're not so tired, right? They're potentially with their families. They're waking up at 8, 9 in the morning. Anyone who works 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, still wakes up at a reasonable hour on a Saturday morning. And I would just knock it out of the park. I would call people on a Saturday morning, but that would sacrifice then going to the bar on a Friday night to that happy hour that I was invited to. So a lot of sacrifices went in my 20s to give me that ability to have a savings account that I was able to dip into when I moved to South Florida. And also that same savings account gave me the ability to run a podcast, right? I didn't start a podcast, you know, with, you know, just, you know, one tiny camera and it costs $100 on Amazon, you know, and just winging it on the internet, where you see a lot of people doing that. And that's great. I had a full studio just like your studio with lights, professional camera back in 2017, 18. It wasn't like the setups today.
Right, where it's really casual.
Yeah, correct.
And we'll get, let's talk more about that in just a few moments. Coming up next, we'll explore the dangerous middle, the moment when quitting feels logical, even responsible, and why staying just a little bit longer can change everything. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more unstoppable stories and strategies for turning obstacles into opportunities. And we're back. I'm Nicole Anderson, and you're watching Underdog to Unstoppable on Now Media Television. Let's keep pushing past limits together. There's a dangerous stretch in every underdog journey where effort hasn't paid off. Exhaustion clouds vision, and logic says it's time to walk away. This segment explores how persistent, not blind hustle, but conscious staying can become the turning point that rewrites the future. So we were just talking in our last segment, we were talking about your journey and that you decided to move your family to South Florida, start over, and you've been building an app that's launched a few years now.
Yeah.
And at what point do you say, nope, this isn't, or I'm gonna keep going with this? Like, what made you make that decision?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because in financial services, it was easy. If you're making money or you're not making money, like, it's either for you're the right fit or you're not the right fit. And you find out right away, I was making money, so it was the right fit. I kept going. Then with podcasting, you could tell immediately, you're like, it's the right fit. People want to come on your show. They're emailing in, and it's shooting fish in a barrel to run a podcast with good guests. We've had the founder of Celsius on. We've had the current CEO of Celsius and tons of other brands in this South Florida community that we all heard of and recognize, like BurgerFi, TRX, and a couple others. And when it comes to running a mobile app, it's completely different. It's intuition. It's a gut feeling. Because so often people are like, why are you doing that? You're losing money every single month. Throw in the towel, right? Your money can go elsewhere. And, you know, you're better off, you know, going back to financial services or go ahead and operate a podcast business. Like a lot of people have said that, like I can rent out my studio, I can teach others how to create successful podcasts, or double down on my own podcast, try to go bigger, get bigger sponsors, get it on the, get on TV like the Shark Tank, right? But I've chosen to keep going 5 years in a row. We started in 2021 with an idea, right? And it took about a year and a half to develop and then eventually launch. And we did a big launch event in 2022, right? And it's been the highest of highs and lowest of lows. But there's one common theme that anyone who uses our technology comes back and has success, texts us, DMs us, calls me on the app. And that's my intuition right there. Because humans are humans, right? If they have a good experience, they're gonna shout about it, and they're gonna share that something occurred. And I just sense that, you know, eventually we're gonna crack the code and figure out we're close, right? And I think when we crack that code, right now we have over 10,000 people who have set up profiles on the app. But eventually that thing is gonna go quick. It's gonna from 10,000, 100, and 100 to 1,000 to a million overnight. And you know, of course, they say like the Chinese bamboo tree, you know, it takes 5 years of watering it and watering it before.
And then it just
goes 90 feet. And I, you know, keep playing that message over and over again that, you know, difficult, you know, stories like this, difficult times, like they say the Rocky movie, like you see it all happen in 90 seconds, but it was 5 years of years of training. And I just have to think that I've had years and years of training of being an entrepreneur and all these connections I have. And eventually, what's going to happen is we're going to have small tweaks. And before you know it, people like yourself who are super busy, you see value in our technology, you use our technology, but we're up against all these other technologies. There's a lot of noise to keep someone on your own platform these days. And most marketplace apps fail for that reason. They run out of money. They can't draw enough people in simultaneously to then continuously see the volume of revenue. But we are bringing in revenue and we are seeing calls every single day completed. And I think at some point we'll have our exponential growth. And most people said, just throw in the towel. Every year, you have no idea how many people told me throw in the towel. And I just keep going.
My intuition. What do you have to tell yourself every day? Like, what is your, like, your hype in the morning? Like, I just got to keep doing this. Or when it's time for a new update. Or you had a month where it was worse than the month before. Like, what do you, Jason, have to tell yourself in order to keep moving?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because so often as entrepreneurs, we say we'll throw in the towel when we get to this time frame, or when, you know, if it doesn't work, or we're writing too many checks. I wrote in more checks than I could ever imagine. I went well past that line in the sand. And my wife has looked at me many times and said, you said when you got here, you were gonna just stop, or you wouldn't spend as much, or you'd pull back development. And every time I've gone to a line, I've crossed it and spent more. And I said, well, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail faster. I'm going to spend more. And I can always rebuild. I guess I always had the confidence that if I run my bank account to zero and my network to zero, right, I could always, you know, become a financial advisor. And I still am today, you know, luckily. So I still have income coming in from that business, of course. But I could put more time to it if all else failed. So I just had the confidence to just keep on going that I'm right. And truthfully, it's to prove a lot of people wrong. Right.
Isn't that what entrepreneurship is?
To get told this many times, like, don't do it, sticks with me. And I can't wait one day to share the story and be like, see, I was right. And they're going to be like, yeah, I always knew it was you. They're all going to come out one day and say, I always believed in you. You were different. And I just, you know, right now they're not saying that, of course. They're on the other side. But right now I have to believe that my gut is right. I've always been a poker player. It's the other side to me.
We've got to hear about this poker playing.
I almost went professional poker when I was in college, and I always could read people. And I believe my read is right based on people's experience after they use the app. And everything else could be fine too. So just me as a poker player, I believe I'm holding on to the right cards.
Well, maybe I'm like a different type of entrepreneur, but I don't think I ever gave myself, I'm going to do something different if I didn't hit this line. Like, I just never gave myself a line. I was like, it's either going to work or like it's not. And so I'm just going to keep going until, and so it was always, you don't have a backup plan, right? Sure. Like there is no, I guess, you know, most everybody already knows, like, my background is HR, that I started my HR and recruiting business. I could always go work for a company in HR, but I don't want to do that. And so in order for me to stay successful, I've got to keep you know, moving. There is no plan B.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially younger or just starting out or starting something new, right? Yeah. Like you started the shrimp tank and then you started Owl, then you're automatically in, okay, I'm in start over mode. Yeah. And what am I going to do about that? So besides people telling you like you're not going to make it and you want to prove them wrong, is there anything else that you have that, or something else that you say to yourself to just not quit?
I'm obsessed with it. That's the truth, right? Like often when people do businesses, they're not obsessed. They do it for making money. And, you know, later on you find out that they're really not happy, right? So they end up making a lot of money as a lawyer, making a lot of money in HR. Right. And eventually you find, you know, that little space where like, wow, I really am enjoying this more, and you get more addicted. And it started with me with podcasting, actually. Right. That was my first, you know, little sliver of doing things differently, where I would walk into a room and people wouldn't turn the other way. Like, oh, there's a financial advisor. He's going to sell me. Right. Or going to try to solicit me. It's like, oh, there's Jason. He runs the shrimp tank. I have to introduce you. So when I started to get that feeling, you know, I got addicted to that feeling. And then when I launched Owl, I got addicted to that feeling, right? The founder of this mobile app that is really unique, helping others connect. And there's something great about helping others, right? Like you said earlier, like actually, when I brought up Celsius and Forever Young, you're like, actually, you know, after you were on the shrimp tank, you got connected to them as well, right? So what happens is like, there's some addiction to helping others and connecting others. And I've connected thousands of people through the Owl app at this point.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Thousands, right? We might not have the highest amount of calls per week, per month, per day, but I could say over the last 3 years since we launched, we have thousands of people who had conversations that then eventually I find out met for coffee, right? We have one person that literally went from California and moved to the Carolinas because of Owl. They met somebody and decided they wanted a life change, and took them up on that offer to rent out their house. And they did that a few months ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I just know there's so many stories that I've heard, but then haven't heard that have happened because it's just a simple phone call through the app. And after that,
yeah,
it's endless opportunities.
I used Forever Young for a while.
Yes.
Because they do hormone testing and peptides and things like that. And so I met them through you.
Yes.
And then I met them through one of the events I did at FAU. So
cool.
So we just kind of connected. I was like, oh, I remember you from, I think it was an Owl event. Like, I remember you. And then we just started these conversations. I think connection is very valuable, you know, resources, especially for young entrepreneurs. And I think that's where the Owl app is a phenomenal tool, right?
Sure.
Is because as a young or a new entrepreneur, you don't have money for all the things that you need. And so if you can spend $5 or $10 to talk with an HR expert, right? Like, am I doing this right? You know, just to get some reassurance, or a private equity, right? Somebody. Like, I think that's a valuable resource that maybe the world is missing out on. And hopefully we can get, you know, some people more interested from the show.
Yeah.
Jason, for the viewers who want to learn more about your work, and your mindset, where can they follow you, listen to your podcast, or how do they contact you?
And I love that question because I saw a quote recently. I want to use it on this show for the first time. It's be very easy to be seen and want to get in touch with, but then very hard to access, right? So I'm everywhere, right? If you watch my show, The Shrimp Tank, right, you could watch me there. You could comment on that live show and often we'll answer those questions. You could find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, at the Jason R. Hill. But ready? I don't accept meetings. The only way to really have a meeting with me is through the Owl app. So I'm very, very easy to find. But ready for this? I say on my profile, if you call me at $99, I will put your $99 back in your account. Now that's obviously a current promotion, but I'm free to access. But what does that mean? That means that people have to put in the work. They got to download the app. They have to make a deposit in their account and take our app serious. And then I know that they're taking my time serious. They're not trying just become a taker, which is just a take all the relationships that I have and then use it for their benefit. And when I see someone do that, I give them the world. And that's what I'm known for. If you read all the reviews on my I will profile, you'll see positive review after positive review about me going the extra distance because I know that they took the time to take my time serious. So very easy to access. Call me right through the Owl app. But of course, you don't take those steps, I'm impossible.
Okay. So up next, we'll talk about the most powerful shift of all, rewriting the story you tell yourself before the world ever changes.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more unstoppable stories and strategies for turning obstacles into opportunities.
And we're back. I'm Nicole Anderson, and you're watching Underdog to Unstoppable on Now Media Television. Let's keep pushing past limits together.
Before results change, belief must change. Many underdogs are held back not by circumstance, but by internal narratives shaped by past failures or outside voices. This segment focuses on how rewriting self-identity unlocks new levels of action and confidence. So in our last segment, we talked about as an entrepreneur, usually people are going to say all kinds of things to you. They're going to tell you this isn't something you should be doing. You talked about how you brought your family here and how that was a major risk. And now what do you give? Now, what advice do you give to entrepreneurs that are just starting? Because I imagine you're not telling them don't do that. But what are you giving them? What information or belief in themselves?
It relates back to poker, actually, right? When I would get told, don't go and play more poker, you just won $1,000, there's so much risk, you're gonna give it all back. And I would always say it's educated risk, right? I knew going in that I'd probably win 7 out of 10 times. I was aware that 3 out of the 10 times, you're gonna have a loss. And the goal is to have a smaller loss, right? And bigger wins. And I had this one friend that would always be like, no, you don't get it. Like, he's won so much over time. This is in college when I was the kid that had $5,000 on his ATM card. And they're like, how does Jason have this money? It was just online gambling when it got really, really popular during those times. So I tell other entrepreneurs, it's educated risk. When I moved to Florida, like I knew I was losing 50% of my income, but I also knew that there was no state income tax, right? So immediately, oh, well, it's 50 minus 15, right? Then after that, I was like, well, my property that I bought, you know, at the time was $600,000-$700,000. In New York, that thing would have been $2 million, right? Again, educated risk. I knew that my cost of living was way lower when I shifted to Florida at that time. Not anymore, right? Florida is a lot more expensive.
It's really expensive.
And now it competes with New York pricing. But I knew that there were so many successful people in Florida that were retirees. And as a financial planner, like that's what your market was, retirees, right? So when I look at other entrepreneurs and I see them going after it, I say, just take an educated risk. You're not just winging a startup. You're not going and building an app and saying, I hope it works. You know, find the problem and then also, you know, put the correct research together and find out like why others failed. With Owl, it was really easy. The first reason, 99% of apps fail like Owl, to be fair, right? So right off the bat, like why is the number one reason? It's money, right? What am I good at? I'm good with money, right? You know, I know how to get deals. I've always been good with money with, you know, behind the scenes, like hotels, like everyone like, call Jason, he knows how to get the best hotel deals. Best flights, right? Now it's easier with all these websites. But back in the day, I was like the guru at that stuff. But when it came to Owl, it was just like doing my research first. There was no ChatGPT back then, right? It was just Google and calling people and be like, why did your app fail? Why did your app fail? And asking for advice from others. People don't realize that if you just nicely ask, like, hey, I'm thinking about building a mobile app. Will you get on a phone call with me? I would like some advice. I'm thinking about going down that lane. They will happily get on a call with you for free. You don't have to pay everyone. Everyone's like, oh, well, they're not going to do it if they don't make money. That is not true at all. You could ask 90%+ of people for help, and they, if you do it genuinely, they will say yes. The reason why people say no is because you're coming across as someone soliciting or trying to take. No one wants to be sold or saying, yeah, I'll work with you, and then now I have to share a post on social media, like all the influencer stuff right now going on. But I found that if you take educated risks, and without also going back to the points, number one was money. Number two was they didn't have a good go-to-market strategy, right? They said, if I build it, right, the old school model, right, in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, like, solve problem, go to market, and the solution will fix, it will just go
everything,
to market,
yeah, everything
right? People are going to love your product because you fixed the problem. Like, that is bullshit. And I really want to make a point to that because so often people go to incubators And they're told that same line over and over again. And that is not true today. Because today, if you don't spend more time on your go-to-market strategy, you will fail. You could have a great, great product, solving a great, great problem, but it's just noise. There's so much saturation in the world today. So you have to spend more time and money on a go-to-market strategy than ever before. And I had that. I had the shrimp tank. I had the deepest connections imaginable, right? And being able to ask for help, being able to even ask for capital technically, right? I know a lot of people with a lot of money. And I said to myself, I could pull this off because I believe that the product is needed in the marketplace because I'm a user of my own product, right? I'm not selling something that I wouldn't be using myself. So that would be my first tip to any entrepreneur is really go into it educated and appropriate risk.
Well, and I think that a lot of people get in their minds, you know, so we talked a little bit about the influencers, right? Like there's a ton of influencers now and they're pulling in millions and millions of dollars. And so that's the new, what is it, those rubber bands that used to use as bracelets.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they blew up, they were animal shaped, and whoever brought them to market was a multimillionaire within like I think everybody's idea of entrepreneurship is are those things, right?
Of course.
That, you know, I'm gonna go to market and I'm gonna immediately
explode.
Yeah. But the reality is that's less than 0.5%.
Oh, tiny.
Of people. And so it's your to go make it past 5 years, you're part of 1% of the group of entrepreneurs. And so I think the idea has to shift for entrepreneurs where, because we get it, a generation of entitlement, right? Like they automatically assume that they're coming into a market and they're just going to be a multimillionaire that fast. But I think that to your point is using your resources, using what you have. I think a lot of patience plays into that if you have it, because it's going to, you know, it's going to go down.
Like you're going to jump too quick. It's very important, right? They have an idea, they roll to market, and then they shift to a whole new business structure overnight.
Or they add too many.
And they listen to too much advice. Right, one person told them to do this, the next told them to do that, and they can't stay focused anymore. There's a big focus problem right now in entrepreneurship. People jump around too much. And if they just keep going with their original, you know, problem they're solving, lots of times they are on the correct path. They just have to keep going.
Well, I had Tony. You actually know Tony Aquaviva.
Yes,
he was on the Shrimp Tank.
Yes, he was.
I had him a few weeks back, and we were talking about the best advice he ever gave me, which was stay the course.
Yeah.
Because once you get the entrepreneurship bug,
yeah,
you start getting all these other ideas. How many ideas have you had since you've been an entrepreneur?
A gazillion.
Like, I think.
I listen to entrepreneurs. So as you listen to more and more, you're like, I could do that. I could do this. They're like, that one's a good idea. Right?
Well, I went to a bodybuilding show and I was watching the shoes that the women bodybuilders, I was like, I could do those so much better.
Of course.
And still like keep them in the price point, but I could do them better. And then when we left, one of my friends was like, are you really going to do that? I was like, no. I was like, I'm not in the shoe market. Like, but it was just the thought process of the entrepreneurship. But that's one of the things is people actually go for all of those ideas and then they don't make it because they're not staying consistent. They're not staying course.
You're bringing up two things, patience and execution, right? So I said earlier, you know, I am, you know, a poker player, right? I have to have extreme patience not to play hands and fold all the time while sitting at a table. And I always told my friends, like, I'm going to win a tournament one day. I never had time to play tournaments. I got to Florida. I played in one of the largest tournaments I ever did, $1,500. And I got fourth place out of over 1,200 people. I won $80,000+, right time, right around the time I got to Florida. I needed some extra money. It was perfect because I had a 50% loss in income that first year. Well, now I just got a nice check for over $8,000. But it took patience, right? And that same patience is in business. Not to flip out on someone when they cancel on you, not to flip out on that customer client, right? They might've had a bad day, or even your spouse, your children. It's just like patience is so valuable in entrepreneurship and often overlooked, right? Because you never hear the whole story of an entrepreneur. And then going back to execution and consistency, right? I am so consistent, right? When you said earlier, like, oh, I was episode 130-ish on the Shrimp Tank, and now we're up to 350 episodes.
It's
you know,
insane.
All done in person, right? All through COVID, through those years, and
for I think 5 years in a row, we did 48 shows a year out of 52 weeks. And we do a show once per week. So as you can imagine, the consistency of never giving up when you had a show cancellation the day before and finding a new guest and just always telling them, hey, we can't go away. Or we had to go in between those dates because I'm like, I got to get back for the Shrimp Tank, right? I don't want to miss a show. Like I was addicted, right? But addicted to showing up. And that's so important. Entrepreneurship is just each and every day showing up and executing, right? My to-do list never ends. Right now, it's the holidays. Everyone's like, oh, I hope you're getting a break. I'm like, yeah, I'm finally catching up. But then somehow I'm like, but the list isn't going down quick enough. I'm like, finally, like I fixed my LinkedIn profile, you know, for the first time in like 3 years. I'm like, my Shrimp Tank guests from the first 50 episodes were up there still. I'm like, we have a whole studio of students sitting in. I'm like, none of these are even showcased on my LinkedIn account. I finally had the time to just knock it out for 30 minutes to an hour. To just do it. So
yeah,
I think,
and it's I was reading something that said that people who you know who are close to you, they actually they're like, you don't love us anymore, you don't, right. You know, as an entrepreneur, but no, you're like in the hustle, you're like in the grind of being consistent, showing up, the discipline, and sure. You know, it's the same as working out. Like everything you do that you're consistent at, you're eventually going to get results. Yeah. So coming up, we close with the breakthrough moment when survival ends and becoming unstoppable truly begins.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more unstoppable stories and strategies for turning obstacles into opportunities.
And we're back. I'm Nicole Anderson, and you're watching Underdog to Unstoppable on Now Media Television. Let's keep pushing past limits together.
Many underdogs live in survival mode for so long that growth feels dangerous. This segment explores the moment when fear gives way to strategy and the identity that once protected, you must be released to fully step into leadership. So Jason, we've talked a lot about you growing your podcast, you're growing, well, two podcasts, because you have the OWL podcast and Shrimp Tank.
Yes.
As well as your app and your financial services business. And through all of those, you're a leader as well. Yeah. You have employees, you have volunteers, you have people that come in and work, and you also have to lead with like clients and stuff. So tell us your form of leadership. What has best suited you as a leader?
It starts by just being a human and just being kind and nice. I think so often people watch TikTok videos, Instagram videos, and they get it wrong, right? They hear hire, you know, quickly and then fire fast, all this nonsense on the internet and leadership stuff.
Definitely an HR term.
TEDx talks and everyone, like they themselves are winning it. They have some success and then all of a sudden they have to hire, right? And I mean, the story goes back to someone I had on the show that had the largest increase of new hires, a company called Shipmunk. They're actually headquartered right here in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. And they had to hire thousands of people within 3 years, right? That's incredible. That's when someone's under age 30 to do that. He was on the Forbes 30 under 30 list. And I remember like just talking like, what was your hiring process like? And they were just winging it. But here's the thing, right? You can wing it as an entrepreneur as long as you're a good person and you just stick to the basic human skills, right? So the easiest things I could tell you is just like, if you have employees, like just treat them well, like treat them to lunch every now and then, treat them to coffee and just say, how's everything going? Like, how could I help you, right? Just the simplest things. And they will stick with you. I've had employees just always stay around. Like they don't typically want to leave because they see that it's not about the money. They see the vision and they want to be associated with a good boss and a good leader. So sometimes it's not always about writing the biggest paychecks, or writing the biggest bonuses. So I think it just starts with just the kindness and being there for them in a time of need. Everyone is human. Everyone has bad days. And everyone goes through their own struggles. So something that I always done is just like, no, I guess going back to poker, like reading them. It's like, I could tell something's off here. Like, I'm going to stay away from them that day, right? I want to yell at them. Like, I've so many times, I'm like, they did that wrong. And I should send an email. But I'm like, something's off. They're going to go off on me. They're going to take it the wrong way. Save it for the following day. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. I also watch a lot of TikTok from others in leadership. And that's the hardest thing. Leadership skills are so hard to learn through video or reading. You have to actually just do it in the real world, right? See how people show up late or you know, do different tasks. And just have patience, going back to that word, and just be like, okay, I need somebody by my side. I know they're not doing it as good as me, but if they can get it 60, 70% done and eventually get better, that's what's important. So often in financial services, we'll go back to that. I was the leader on my team to hire interns and then hire our first assistant and then eventually hire, you know, our first, you know, junior sales associate. Right. And to this day, they always like, Jason's better at that. Like every time someone hires, they're like, well, I'll just do it myself. They always find an excuse not to hire someone. And the truth is it's hard, right? It's really hard to get into the office every day before that person or always showing up and being consistent. And the second you put that, you know, leadership hat on and you have employees is the second it changes. You have to watch your tone. You have to, of course, bite your tongue a lot. And I just think it starts with those everyday tasks and eventually you evolve. I've evolved. I was not the best early on. I made a lot of mistakes and I learned from those mistakes as a leader.
Well, and I think as a leader, you know, if you went to college or, you know, your high school or whatever, there's classes like interpersonal communication and things like that. And I talk about it all the time where had I known what I was going to deal with as a leader, I would have taken psychology a lot more than leadership classes. And because over the years, I've had to learn and develop how people communicate and how to be able to properly communicate with somebody that doesn't have the same communication style as I do.
Absolutely.
And I think as a leader, that's the hardest thing to get through because you're so set in your way of how you communicate, like whether you receive information direct or you need I don't receive beat around the bush communication. I need you to just tell me. Yeah. Like, just tell me what it is. Don't beat around the bush. But some people need that.
And
right.
It's important to know, like, sometimes you need an introvert and you need an extrovert on your team. And I think what's hard is like, you might be an extrovert. And then when you hire an introvert, you don't understand. You're like, I don't understand. Why do they want to go home right at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m.? And that's what they like. Like, they're out of energy. Where like entrepreneurs like you and me, like, somehow, like, we get more fuel throughout the day. Like through this podcast, I'm gaining more energy.
And you're like, I'm ready for
pickleball. I'm ready. Let's go another 2 hours. I got pickleball later today. Let's do it, right? And I just think that you learn as a leader, as you hire more and more people, that they're actually both good on your team. And you just have to treat each one a little differently, right? And you have to understand when to bite your tongue with each one. And one, you know, you give it to a little bit more. They're maybe type A and extroverted and you could kind of be a little harder on them and they take it better, right? So being a leader is just going through those steps. There's no shortcut to leadership. I think in other areas there's shortcuts, but not leadership. You just have to hire and over time you learn. And then running OWL, I've really learned, right? Because we're dealing with people's money. And I've gotten negative reviews off someone like, there's a dollar missing in their account, but they didn't understand how the app worked. I'm like, no, it's right there. It's pending earnings. It's just hidden in this little bucket that's going to eventually free up to you. But they're going off on you. So you just have to learn, like when you're dealing with people's money, you always have to give them the benefit of the doubt and quickly communicate. I think too many technologies today, you know, read a book on Instagram or LinkedIn and they're like, just ignore the customer for weeks and no one gets back to you. And I'm like, the reason why OWL stands a chance against these big, big brands when everyone asks me is like, because we communicate better. Every email goes back within 24 to 40 hours with customer service. And that comes from who I am as a financial service professional. The reason why I made it as a financial service professional is because of communication skills. And I think we're missing that in the world that we live in today because everyone's okay to ghost with DMs on Instagram, LinkedIn. It's like, oh, I'll just go on a
keyboard warriors.
Like, they'll no-show this podcast. I'm like, whatever, I go on a different podcast. Who cares, right? But that's not the take any successful leader has.
Well, I think you when you said something about like customers and reviews and things, there's what the Amazon method, right? Where Amazon started responding to people on their reviews and they started responding quickly.
Yeah.
And they were responding to negative reviews and positive reviews and that accelerated their brand.
Yeah,
because and that actually helped people understand, okay, like this is where Amazon is coming from, you know, the big bad company. But with like the negative reviews, they'd be like, I'm sorry, but that's not what happened. Here's the notes. Here's what happened. And I think a lot of companies that did that have started adopting that method, they have so much more success because of the communication piece of it.
Of course.
It's transparency. It's letting people understand where you're at. as an organization, and I think leadership is the same, is the transparency aspect. And I personally, when I work with clients and customer or clients and their employees, that's usually where the conflict is.
Yeah.
Is the lack of communication between all the parties involved. So what is next for OWL?
Well, it's
and
it's,
for you.
It's the name of your podcast, right?
You want to be
Underdog
Unstoppable?
To Unstoppable. But in reality, OWL has not hit its success yet, right? 5 years in a row, I've written checks for over $20,000 to $30,000 every single month. And it's very difficult to do that. Most people would have folded after 12 months to 2 years. That's my personal savings, right? Every dollar I ever saved and sacrificed in my 20s and 30s has got in to launch OWL and make it the brand it is today. We have over 50 OWL brand ambassadors that I'm proud of, over 10 affiliates with our brand, which are more community-based groups that wanna see our success and the success of their own members. And I truly believe that OWL will have millions of users in the future and impact millions of lives. And it's just the volume play at this point. I believe that the technology is already there and we just have to make small tweaks, which we're doing in the coming months and coming years. And essentially you're gonna see everybody under the sun saying, oh, you gotta use OWL for these reasons. And everyone will use it for their own reasons, right? If you're having a bad day and you wanna speak to someone, you know, just have a conversation with someone on OWL because there's someone there to instantly have access to have a conversation. There's no other platform that you can literally open up right now and hit their profile and hit the call button and they're priced $1, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, but someone in your price level to call or get guidance from, right? And it's also gonna be a matchmaking service in a sense, right? Like people meet on LinkedIn and then end up getting married, right? Yes, we know that LinkedIn is, you know, more professional than, let's say, Instagram in that sense, because people more often will ask people on dates on Instagram, but it's all about just conversations, and conversations will lead to results. And I really hope that we go more to an authentic conversation through OWL, because I think we miss that as entrepreneurs or in life in general. Like you see so many people so frustrated with socials right now, but they have a monopoly, right? Because no matter what anyone says, they're still addicted to opening up Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok,
yes.
Right? Those three platforms dominate. And OWL, we believe, will be in that mix because people want to have authentic conversations.
So tell our viewers how they can follow you, follow your work, get in touch with you, remind them of those.
Yes. So my social media handle is the Jason R. Hill on all platforms. And then OWL is at OWL App. And then Shrimp Tank's at Shrimp Tank Boca. Right. So if you want to watch some of my podcasts, of course, go right over to Shrimp Tank. And you did reference something. I do have a secondary podcast that we've ran through the OWL App. We do a show called Funding Fridays, where we bring in venture capitalists, angel investors to our studio, and people can call in through the app to get access to these folks, and pitch them live, kind of like a Shark Tank show, but in a live environment through the mobile app. And it's all about being creative, right? Like I have the same microphones as you do at this studio, the same lighting, but how could I be different, right? I'm different through the Shrimp Tank by having a live audience with students, right? I just asked FAU, do you want to do a podcast with me? They said yes, but it's like years to then eventually move it to the FAU studio, right? You know, this podcast called Funding Fridays, it just took that many relationships for a venture capitalist to believe in me and say, hey, you want to come to my studio, take the time out of your day to run a show like this? They said yes. So you could find me on all these social platforms, but again, I'm very easy to find, but I'm very hard to get on an actual Zoom meeting or a phone meeting today, right? And that's gonna take place right through the app itself. And I have over 2,000 phone calls through that app. So it's all public data, right? So I'm not one of those people who talks on this side and then eventually you never hear from them again, right? I see so many entrepreneurs that have come on my podcast and actually swore to me that we would do this and that and never hear from them ever again. That's not me. I'm very authentic and I'm a man of my word. And you go on my platform, OWL, you'll see all those reviews that actually talk about that as well.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, thank you for sharing your journey so open and honestly. Today, we heard what it really takes to move from isolation to confidence, from survival to strategy, and from underdog to unstoppable. To our viewers, your story isn't over. And your past doesn't disqualify you. Sometimes one more step, one more belief, and one more moment of courage is all it takes to change everything. I'm Nicole Anderson, and this is Underdog to Unstoppable. Until next time, keep going.